أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, فأحمد الله, thank Allah, continue as well with the قصص الأنبياء. We have reached the story of Lut عليه الصلاة والسلام. After بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, شيخ عبد الرحمن السعدي رحمه الله said, وقصة لوط عليه الصلاة والسلام. نعم, تبع لقصة إبراهيم لأنه تلميذه وقد تعلم من إبراهيم. So Lut عليه الصلاة والسلام was from the students of Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام, and he has learned from him. So that is why after we finish the story of Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام, he mentioned the story of Lut. وقد تعلم من إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام. وقصة لوط. لوط عليه الصلاة والسلام وكان من منزلة الابن, and he was like a son to Ibrahim. He was learning from him, benefiting from him. فنبأه الله بحياة الخليل وأرسله. So Allah عز وجل clarified to him the life of Khalil, Al-Khalil, meaning Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام, and sent him to a village or to an area called Sodom, نعم, which is in Palestine, an area, a village called Sodom in Palestine. وكانوا مع شركهم بالله يلوطون بالذكور, and along with the shirk with Allah, they used to have relations or sexual relations with, and men with men and women with women. So here, men with men, they used to have relations, which is يعني sodomy. ولم يسبقهم أحد إلى هذه الفاحشة. And no one preceded them in this evil, he says, because it was considered to be abnormal. The norm is the man to marry a woman. That was the norm. And not a man to be with a man. So Shaykh Abd al-Rahman al-Sa'di rahmullah, he said that along with the shirk, they had this act that they practiced amongst themselves. فدعاهم إلى عبادة الله. Notice, he said, he called them to the worship of Allah. First and foremost, he called them to what? Tawheed. So here we have an ill of society, he says, whereby the people are doing that which is against the Quran, that which is against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded them to be upon, and against what Ibrahim alayhi salam called him to, and against what Lut alayhi salam called him to. But look, Lut alayhi salam is addressing first and foremost Tawheed. And this is the reply to those who say, you know, you're wasting your time talking about Surah Thalatha, talking about Tawheed. We have certain ills in society, we have certain situations in society to deal with, our community, our situation, our, without realizing that the Anbiya began with Tawheed, began with the ibadah to Allah, began with ikhlas. And with that, once they come to know the reality of worshipping Allah alone, they will fulfill what Allah commands them to do. So he called them to, first and foremost, to worship Allah alone. حَذَّرَهُمْ مِنْ هَذِي الْفَاحِشَةِ, and he warned them from this mischief, he says. فَلَمْ يَزْدَادُ إِلَّا عُتُوًا وَتَمَادِيًا فِي مَا هُمْ فِيهِ. But this only made them increase in what they were upon. So basically they didn't listen to Lut عليه الصلاة والسلام. وَلَمَّا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ هَلَاكَهُمْ, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed to destroy them, أَرْسَلَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ, he sent the angels, and they were the same angels that passed by Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام as guests. Remember in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, he had angels as guests, and he served them. And at that point they said, we are going to Sodom, yani the village of Sodom, in order to destroy the inhabitants of that village because of their disbelief first and foremost, and thereafter them turning away in this manner of sodomy. So he said, so Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah said that the angels, they passed by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and they mentioned the affair that they were going to destroy a people because of what they are doing. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, because of his gentleness, his kindness, his mercy, and his, he was discussing, the affair with the angels, and Allah said, "Inna fiha lutan." قَالُوا نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ. He said, if you destroy them, Lot is amongst them. Basically, don't destroy them because Lot is amongst them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we know who is amongst them. We are more aware of who is amongst them than you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not destroy Lot with the people of Sodom. Rather, He commanded him to leave with his family. نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا فِيهَا لِنُنَجِّيَنَّهُ وَأَهْلَهُ أَجْمَعِينَ, such that we may save him and his family altogether. Surah Al-Ankabut, verse 42. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ أَعْرِضْ عَنْ هَذَا. O Ibrahim, turn away from what you're saying. Don't. This is, we know what we are doing. We know that we are there to punish these people for what they have done. إِنَّهُ قَدْ جَاءَ أَمْرُ رَبِّكَ. Indeed, the Lord of your Lord has come. وَإِنَّهُمْ آتِيهِمْ عَذَابٌ غَيْرُ مَرْدُودٍ. So it's already been willed that these people will be destroyed. So stop, desist, O Ibrahim. For indeed, the punishment is going to be upon them and it's not going to be repelled. غَيْرُ مَرْدُودٍ. It's not going to be stopped. So then the angels continue towards Sodom, and they went towards that village in order to fulfill the command of Allah Ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هَذَا يَوْمٌ عَصِيدٌ. It was not an easy day. It was a day of destruction, a day of turning the whole village upside down because of what they do. وَوَقَعَ مَا خَافَ مِنْهُ فَجَاءَهُ قَوْمُهُ يُهْرَعُونَ إِلَيْهِ يُرِيدُونَ فِعْلَ الْفَاحِشَةِ بِأَضْيَافِ لُوطٍ. So when the guests of Lut a.s. came, they continued, the people of Lut, before the punishment came, they wanted to continue to do fahisha, this evil act, as Allah mentions. يَا قَوْمِ هَؤُلَاءِ بَنَاتِي هُنَّ أَطْهَرُ لَكُمْ. To the extent that Ibrahim a.s. said to them, these are my daughters. Don't do what you are doing, men with men. These are my daughters. And here, this is not actually him saying, take my daughters. No, Lot a.s. Did I say Ibrahim? This is a mistake. Lot a.s. said, these are my daughters. He's not actually, he knows they're not going to take the daughters anyway. Shaykh al-Sa'di rahimahullah said, he knows they're not going to take the daughters, but he only said that. Na'am, he only said that to them as a proof against them, that in reality, as Allah says, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا لَنَا فِي بَنَاتِكَ مِنْ حَقٍ. And they themselves, the people of Lot, people of Sodom, they themselves says, you know, إِنَّكَ لَتَعْلَمُ مَا نُرِيدُ. You know what we want. We don't want your daughters. Rather, we want to continue doing what we want to do, which is sodomy. That is mentioned in Surah Hud, verse 79. وَأَيْضًا يُرِيدُ بَعْضَ الْعُذْرِ مِنْ أَضْيَافِهِ وَعَلَى هَذَا التَّأْوِيلِ لَا حَاجَةَ إِلَى الْعُدُولِ إِلَى قَوْلِ بَعْضِ الْمُفَسِّرِينَ هَؤُلَاءِ بَنَاتِي يعني زوجاتهم يعني لأن النبي أب لأمته فإن هذا يمنعه أمران أحدهما قول هؤلاء بنات يشير إليهن إشارة الحاضر ثانيا هذا الإطلاق على زوجاتهم لا نظير له وأيضا النبي إنما هو بمنزلة الأب للمؤمنين به لا للكفار. والمحذور الذي توهموه يزول بما ذكرنا، وأنه يعلم أنه لا حق لهم فيهن. So Lut عليه الصلاة والسلام, he knows that they have no right in his daughters. Rather, he said that is a proof against them. He's not saying to them, take my daughters instead of the men that you are using in your relations. But rather, this is a proof against them. وَإِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ مُدَافَعَتَهُمْ بِكُلِّ طَرِيقٍ. But rather, he just wants to repel them by every means possible. By every means possible. And then he said, فَاشْتَدَّ الْأَمْرُ بِلُوط. The affair became very difficult for Lot. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continued and mentioned, لَوْ أَنَّ لِي بِكُمْ قُوَّةً أَوْ آوِي إِلَىٰ رُكْنٍ شَدِيدٍ. He said, if I had even a quwwah, some ability to repel what you're doing, or ability to have some strength, because he knew that what they were doing is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was aware of, and it was in reality causing mischief, causing harm to the society. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in Surah Hud, and I'm going to just mention it now. Allah ya Rabbi, alhamdulillah. Just get the translations better. So that's Surah Hud, verse 80. He said in that story of Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, would that I had strength to overpower you, because he was not able to overpower them what they were doing, or that I could betake myself to some powerful support to resist you. They, meaning the messengers, said, O Lord, verily we are the messengers from your Lord. So that's where the angels came and they mentioned what they were going to do. That the punishment shall not reach you. We're going to punish them, but the punishment shall not reach you. So travel with your family in a part of the night, and let not any of you look back, but your wife will remain behind, because she had some sympathy for them, and she made excuses for them. Verily the punishment which will afflict them will afflict her. And she turned to them, indeed morning is their appointed time. Is not the morning near? Na'am, alaysa subha biqareeb. So the morning, the next morning, the punishment is going to happen. Yes, it is true. He called upon his Lord. He wants Allah to help him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped him with strength. The strength of sending angels in order to destroy the people who turned away, the people who did not want to listen to his call, because first and foremost of their shirk, associating partners with Allah, and secondly because of what they practiced in their society. So when our commandment came, فَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا جَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا. We turned the whole town of Sodom, which is in Palestine, upside down, and rained on them stones of baked clay in a well arranged manner, one after another, so that after the whole village was turned upside down, they were pelted with hard clay. Marked from your Lord, مُسَوَّمَةً عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ وَمَا هِيَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ بِبَعِيدٍ. And they are not ever far from the polytheists, from the oppressors, meaning this punishment reached the kuffar, the disbelievers, who disbelieved in Allah, who disbelieved in the monotheism, in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here Shaykh al-Sa'di rahimahullah says, the greatest dalil that this fahisha, that this evil act, is from the most evil of acts, and of sodomy being from the most evil of acts, he says, is that it caused the people who were doing it to have a severe punishment. And the punishment is according to the action. So because of the severe punishment of a whole village turned upside down, that shows you that the actual act that they did on top of shirk was severe. And the one who is trialed with this severe act at the same time of their deen not being intact, then the reality of good is seen as bad, and the reality of bad is seen as good. And this shows you the reason, the proof of their deviation.
So yes, this was an ill in society,
in terms of their manner. And the people have had deviation in manners, but that first and foremost transpired with a deviation in Tawheed, away from worshipping Allah alone. If they had worshipped Allah alone, if they had called upon Allah alone, if they had relied upon Allah alone, if they had fulfilled the commandments of Allah, they would have kept away from this. But first and foremost, they fell into shirk. And thereafter, what was considered to be bad was good in their eyes. What was good in their eyes? Nah. What was bad in their eyes was considered to be good. So, nah. Basically, the affairs were turned upside down in their eyes, because deviation starts small. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, deviation starts a handspan, then becomes an arm's length, then becomes a mile, then becomes a mile. So deviation doesn't start straight away with a mile of deviation. No, it starts small. That's why we should be careful in the most smallest of affairs, not to deviate away from the Sirat al-Mustaqim, from the straight path. So in Lut alayhi salam, when he said, هَؤُلَاءِ بَنَاتِي هُنَّ أَطْهَرُ لَكُمْ, these are my daughters, they are more pure for you. They are the ones. Na'am. Because they came rushing towards him, and since aforetime they used to commit crimes, and that crime is the crime of sodomy, as Allah said in Surah Hud, verse 78. And he said, oh my people, here are my daughters. And he doesn't mean his own daughters, he means the women of the nation. Men should go with women. A man should marry a woman, not a man. And they are purer for you if you marry them lawfully. So fear Allah and disgrace me not with regard to my guests. Is there not among you a single right-minded man? Is there not among you a single right-minded man? So as if Lot alayhi salam was powerless. He did his best to call them, but they didn't listen. They turned away. No. So from the benefits of this story, he says, Sheikh Asadi says, أَنَّ مِنْ عَلَامَةِ الرَّجُلِ الرَّشِيدِ أَنَّهُ وَالْمُسَدَّدْ فِي أَقْوَالِهُ وَفَعَالِهِ. From the signs of a man that is Rashid, that does good deeds and is noble, sign of a man that is noble, is that he is truthful in his speech and is sincere in his actions. Because Allah said in the last part of that verse, أَلَيْسَ مِنْكُمْ رَجُلٌ رَشِيدٌ, isn't there amongst you a man that is noble, deviated in shirk, deviating in this manner in akhlaq, manner in terms of your etiquette, turning away from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you with, that a man marries a woman lawfully? How is it a man marries a man? This will stop the nasl, the lineage of Ibn Adam, of the children of Adam. Imagine all the people upon that. How will the human race continue? Will there be children if a man marries a man? Will there be children? There will not be children. There will not be children. So you are almost going against that which is natural. What is natural is that a man marries a woman and they have children and they have a family. But if a man marries a man, who's the mother and who's the father? Who's the mother and who's the father? or the child grows up confused. Says father and father. Two fathers. Which child? Yes, they say let's get an adopted child and you'll grow up. But who's the mother and who's the father? They say that you are the one who's sick. You, because you haven't accepted it, you have a phobia. You are the one who's sick. Now, I'm not allowed to have my own opinion. Am I not allowed to have my own opinion, my own belief? According to the Quran, we believe that this is an abomination, an act which is an act which does not allow the lineage to continue, the progeny to continue, children to continue. So it is not an act that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded, rather He has forbidden. And they say, no, you should be open-minded. Exactly. This is one of the brothers said, Allah created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. But the point is, if we continue to accept and say, this is no problem, there's no problem with that, then that punishment might come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't feel safe. Don't feel that khalas, because we're not doing it, you're safe. Because if those around you are doing it, the punishment of Allah can come. And if you're not enjoying good and forbidden the evil, you could go with that punishment. And Yawm al-Qiyamah, yes, you'll be raised up upon your intention and saved. If you are righteous and sincere, you'll be saved. But when the punishment comes, all fall into that punishment. Lot did not fall into that punishment, because he was enjoining good and forbidden the evil, and those with him were enjoining good and forbidden the evil. And so they call the people away from this act. But if you say this, that you disagree with this act, it's like you become almost sick. You have a phobia. So now the sickness, the tables have been turned. It's not them who are sick, but rather it's you who are sick, because you want the human race to continue, man with the woman, and have children. But a man with a man, the human race will not continue. How will it continue? And who will be the mother and who will be the father? So a noble person is one who is noble in terms of his manners and in speech and in action. And Allah mentioned that. Isn't there a person who is noble amongst people? Allah will give victory in the end to those who are oppressed, and He will punish those who oppress themselves and others. Because remember, this actual act is an oppression of oneself. Is an oppression of oneself. And this act of sodomy, until in this time, 2017, you'll find many populations have rejected it. For example, in Belarus, in Poland, in Moldova, in Bulgaria, in Montenegro, in Serbia, in Kenya, in Uganda, and others have asserted values they wish to preserve. And they do not wish this value of sodomy, or this way of sodomy, to be part of their society. So they have rejected it without violence. Of course, we don't call to violence, we don't call to people killing innocents and killing people who stray. May Allah guide them to the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His signs He created male and female, as Allah mentioned in Surah number 30, verse 21, and of His signs is that He created for you from yourselves mates, that you may find tranquility in them, and He placed between you affection and mercy. Indeed, in that are signs for a people who give thought. So in Islam, sodomy or homosexuality is treated as a deviation from this natural order of a man and the woman. And you will find it also in the previous scriptures, in the Torah, for example. you find it also that the Torah makes clear, a clear statement, that homosexuality is not an acceptable lifestyle or a genuine identity by severely prohibiting its conduct. Because the story of Lot a.s. is also in the Torah. And if you pick up the Old Testament, that story is illustrated with detail. Illustrated with detail how the people turned away from the call of Lot a.s. Also, even in America, up to 1970, homosexuality was officially considered to be a mental disease. Up to when? 1970. You see, we're just around the corner. In America, it was considered to be a mental disease, needing psychological treatment. Due to intense lobbying and for political reasons, the American Psychiatric Association, APA, removed homosexuality from the official list of mental disorders in 1973. So after 3 years, they became, you know, bold, and they said, "Khala, it's okay, they're all right, it's not an issue." Homosexuals have lobbied the APA since 1971 in order to allow homosexuality to continue, allow this act to continue. Disrupting their meetings, grabbing microphones and shouting down any psychiatrist who considered homosexuality to be a mental disorder. So the tactics of the 60s anti-war protesters worked. The APA caved in, and homosexuals used this victory to proclaim that homosexual behavior, meaning sodomy, is normal. Despite this partial victory, they were unsuccessful in trying to repeal anti-sodomy laws, and in 1986, following a U.S. Supreme Court ruling, Bowers versus Hardwick, which maintained the rights of individual states to criminalize sodomy, they adopted a new tactic relying upon social marketing and propaganda. Over the next 20 years, the financial support, in addition to substantial help from the media, they have been largely successful in their goals to first normalize and then impose homosexual lifestyles upon societies. Upon societies. So, if you do not accept it in society, you're considered to be homophobic. Since they say that homosexuals and gays are identities assumed for cultural and political goals by those who engage in specific behaviors and are not truly distinct persons, then homophobia is also an artificial construct. So, if you were to refer, for example, same sex, different cultures, 1998, published in 1998, on page 7, where they clarify that in reality, those who turn away from accepting this act, they're considered to be homophobic. They're the ones who are considered to be sick. And in reality, this act of homosexuality, as some doctors have documented, that it's a reason for diseases spreading. For example, a leading U.S. AIDS health service provider has said that hundreds of patrons of gay sex clubs and bathhouses have been exposed to HIV because Los Angeles County officials failed to regulate the venues. And this, you can read it from an article which was published in 2004 on the 4th of May. And the article, the title of the article is AIDS Group Urges HIV Testing in LA Bathhouses. And that is from Reuters Health, showing you clearly that it has been reported and documented that this type of act causes disease, and from that disease is HIV, which is AIDS. And we know in the media they try to blame other reasons for the spread of AIDS. They try to blame, they said it came from Africa. They always blame the Africans, blame the black people for everything, subhanAllah. They say it came from Africa and that's where the disease spread. And then they, even some reports, they said it wasn't reality, it's actually the monkeys that spread it, came from. The monkey can't reply, so if, you know, that is what they started saying. So in reality, this act has been documented in history, in newspapers, in the media, as having a reason to cause AIDS. And in fact, even if you go to mayoclinic.org, which is M-A-Y-O clinic.org, this famous Mayo Clinic, on their website they state, men who have sex with men are at increased risk of contracting HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, as well as other sexually transmitted infections including hepatitis, HPV, herpes simplex, herpes simplex, gonorrhea, chlamydia, and syphilis. And this you'll find in an article that was written in 2014 on the 15th of August, an article called Health Issues for Gay Men.
So this is documented
even in some famous clinics' websites. And Robert Winnett writes in the Telegraph, he said the Health Protection Agency recently calculated that it costs more than $300,000 to treat every person who contracts the disease, including those who go on to develop AIDS. The cost of treating sufferers in the last stages of their lives is particularly high. And that is that was published in 2012 on the 27th of February. And that was under a chapter called Rectum Abuse or Anal Cancer and Disease Later. In this book, you will find it in more details. So, if you go back to that chapter or that section, it actually titles the section Rectum Abuse. It's considered to be an abuse of the rectum, because the rectum has not been created for that. It's for excreting, not for abusing. And so, many articles were written, even in 2015, and other than that, we found people writing. Now, from a Muslim perspective, we say and we believe that the Quran is against this act. We don't go around killing people, harming people. We don't do that. We're not violent. And this is not what Islam calls to. Rather, we call them to come to common terms, to understand the reality of this act and the reality of stopping the human race continuing. That is what Muslims call to, calling to the reality of diseases spreading and the reality of harms that could be caused with this act. And also, basic biology and scientific research informs us that anuses and rectums were not designed for repeat abuse, and as a result will have a relatively short lifespan because of anal warts settling in and muscles becoming kaput or broken and useless, leading to fecal incontinence and parasitical infections, and they lose desirability and become a liability, a fertile ground for disease transmission. So this in turn fuels promiscuity and the need for more and more partners. Hence, it is logical and rational to anticipate a strong demand for a ready and constant supply of fresh new rectums. Within this context, it makes economic sense, and we have seen this economic sense, to try and get the age of sodomy lower and lower so that others can practice this even at a lower age. On January the 2015, when the Charlie Hebdo attacks occurred, numerous politicians came out and they said, "We will never give up freedom of speech." And they said, as David Cameron said, "It is very important in our countries that we have a freedom of expression. You're allowed to offend people," he said. You might not agree with something. As often as I see things, I do not agree with, but I believe in the freedom of speech and the rule of law. So they use that in order to allow freedom to insult and so on and so forth. So therefore, as Muslims also, we have freedom of speech to speak out against that which we believe is incorrect, that which we believe is will cause harm in society, will cause harm in that which will cause increase in disease. So Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah, going back to the book, he said that nobility comes from good speech and good actions, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give victory to those who call to good and those who repel evil and those who clarify the reality of sins. So he enjoys the good and he forbids the evil, and he repels the people who transgress. And from the story also we benefit that we should be encouraged to enjoin the good and aid in that which brings about good, and we should encourage also to repel everything that may cause destruction in society, just as it caused the destruction to those people of Lot. And that we need to call upon Allah to give us strength, just as Lot alayhi salam called upon Allah and he said, لَوْ أَنَّ لِي بِكُمْ قُوَّةً أَوْ آوِي إِلَى رُكْنٍ شَدِيدٍ. He said, if I only had strength, or to go to that which will give me support to repel what you're calling to clarify what you're calling to is a sin. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends messengers, and they were noble. He sent them to their people in order to call to the truth and to repel futility. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one who aided Lot alayhi salam. If he had not aided him, the people of Lot would have killed him. They would have killed him. And this happened also, na'am, when they said, and this is in verse 91 in Surah Hud, regarding Shu'aib. Shu'aib called his people. They said to him, وَلَوْلَا رَهْتُكَ لَرَجَمْنَاكَ وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْنَا بِعَزِيزٍ. Again, they wanted to kill him. And they said, O Shu'aib, if it wasn't for your rahd, يعني وَلَوْلَا رَهْتُكَ, because he was close to Allah and he was a worshipper of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O Shu'aib, they said to O Shu'aib, we do not understand much of what you say, and we see you weak. It is said that he was a blind man amongst us. So they saw him as being weak. Were it not for your family, we should certainly have stoned you. And he called them not to worship Allah, that's all. Or my people, he said, is then my family of more weight with you than Allah? And you have cast him away behind your backs. Verily my Lord is surrounding all that you do. So with Shu'aib they wanted to do the same. They wanted to harm him because they saw him as a man who was weak. Just like the messenger Muhammad said, they wanted to harm him. They saw him a man that was weak. And so as Muslims, Shaykh al-Sa'di rahimahullah says, وَكَذَلِكَ نَبِيُّنَا مُحَمَّدٌ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بُعِثَ فِي أَشْرَفِ بَيْتٍ مِنْ قُرَيْشٍ. Yes, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم was sent to the Quraysh in the most noblest of tribes of Quraysh. وَقَدْ رَمَاهُ قَوْمُهُ. But then his people turned him away. They turned him away and they drove him out of Makkah. And they turned to him in enmity. And they sat in majalis, in sittings, conniving, planning, plotting against him and the call that he called to. And you will find this occurring with those who call to good. You call to righteousness, you call to salvation, you call to tawheed, worshipping Allah alone, you call to the way of the Messenger, you will find others will try to repel you and will be at enmity to you. And of course we don't use violence, but we call with knowledge and we speak with knowledge based upon beautiful preaching. And what was the thing that stopped them? He says, Shaykh Asadi says, what was the thing that stopped them from harming him in the end? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The protection of Allah. So therefore we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. Whenever others want to harm us, whenever others want to stop our call to Tawheed, whenever others want to discuss with us, we are open for discussion, but without violence. And we call to the Quran, and we call to the Sunnah, and we clarify from their books and from their own, if you like, intellectuals who actually speak out against this act. We say to them, from your own people we find those who speak out against the cause of sodomy, or the reason of sodomy being a reason for diseases spreading. And this topic actually is quite detailed, and we don't have really much time to go into the details of it, but the reality is Islam forbids this act. We do not go out with violence against those who do it, but Islam calls for the protection of children, and those children that are being used in this act with those who try to legitimize these acts. For example, in Holland, the age of consent for this act has been reduced to a much lower age compared to the rest of Europe, and we found many people who were inclined to homosexuality traveling to Holland in order to have these relations with these children. And so Islam calls for the protection of children, and the protection of lineage, and the protection of one's progeny. And this cannot continue with this act of sodomy. So you'll find this act of sodomy occurring in many countries, unfortunately, some Muslim countries as well, whether it's Indonesia or other than that. You'll find many children are used and abused. Many children are harmed. And there are statistics showing that, and people have written about it. So Islam came to protect the people, protect the society, with the general benefit of society outweighing the specific benefit of an individual. The general benefit of society, of tranquility, of peace, of repelling harm, takes precedence over any specific individual's needs. And if it means that children are going to be harmed, and they are harmed, then first and foremost we as Muslims should stand together and refer back to the scriptures, refer back to the Quran, refer back to the exegesis, and clarify to the people that this act in reality was a reason for its people to be destroyed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and aid us, forgive us, and make us of those who clarify the truth without fearing the blame of the blamers. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu ala khairi khalqihi Muhammad wa akhdahu alhamdulillah.